Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones are acting, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Welcome to Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That's Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
That is our associate producer, Scotty the Body from USF.
Hey, hey.
And we have a very special guest, Mr. Soul Brother Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What's going on?
Welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, Mr. Soul Brother Kevin. If you don't know, he's on our sister station, 102.5 The Bone. It is a, what did they call it, a hot talk station?
Can we just talk shit?
That's
about it. Sometimes we do a horrible job of covering serious news stories, and that's what I'm here for.
Yes, yes. And so SBK, is it the Soul Brother Kevin show or the SBK show?
You tell me.
I hear people tell me
what the name of the show is. In my heart, it's the SBK show.
Okay. SBK show. All right.
However, I will just say I was told by a guy in a suit that they did some testing, and Soul Brother Kevin's show tested better.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
understand.
Right.
How I can have the same name for my entire radio career, but all of a sudden one tests better than the other.
I tell you, that's the craziest thing about radio that you listening might not know about, is that you think that we just come in the studio and it's fun times, but there are like these overlords of radio for every company that literally sit in a room, listen to what we do, and then they're like, well, they need to do this, they don't need to do this, they need to do this, and like they never really ask you like why you did what you did or like what was your reasoning, and they just say do this.
And they're making these decisions after they listen to like one segment.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, I could have been having a bad day.
Right.
I hope they're not listening to anything I did in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, now why is that?
Well, my girl left me after 14 years.
Mm. When did it happen? Was it like 2 weeks ago?
It's when I told everybody. Right. I told everybody 2 weeks ago.
Right.
She had left 2 weeks before that.
Oh, gotcha. So and it had happened. It had been a month, but you just went public with it.
Yeah. You ever saw a plane land?
Yeah.
This was a 14-year landing.
Yeah.
And the wheels were down early.
Yeah.
No, not really. Not really. Look, you got people listening to you. I can't say that was the best radio that I was doing.
Mm.
I'm still in the middle of all of this.
Yeah.
Is all fresh, you know?
Right.
But you just do what you got to do. They'll
right.
tell you you have to be professional.
Mm-hmm.
I think when someone tells you to be a professional in the type of job we're in,
yeah.
where you're talking and it's real and you're in the moment and mm-hmm. this is how you feel, I mean, okay, I'll
yeah.
give you as professional, but I don't think that's what you signed. You didn't want me to be safe.
Right.
You didn't
no.
want me
right.
to be like everybody else. You
right.
wanted me to get on the air and bear it all and
mm-hmm.
tell you everything. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And that's what's sort of some of the frustrating parts about what we do is that they tell you that. We want you to be honest. We want you to be authentic. And then sometimes
don't
that,
be too real.
Exactly. But that authenticity isn't always the best jokey, like, let's tell jokes, let's, you know, ha-ha, you know,
yeah,
let's throw pies at
Scott's
face.
There doesn't have to be a punchline
right.
to everything you say.
And,
right.
And how often have you provided great radio
oh, yeah.
while you're, like, crying inside? You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a...
The first 3 months that we were here, that was Holly.
That was me. Like, maybe not the first 3 months, because we got here in March,
right.
and then in August of that year... my ex-husband and I decided we were getting divorced. So we had just started this new job on a CHR station where
wow.
everyone is so excited. And then come August and into September, the decision was made. And then from about that point until March the next year, I was...
Holly went
not
through it.
Here. I was not really present. I mean, I was here, but not mentally.
Would like, people right. know that by listening?
No, I don't think. I mean, I think you could tell something was wrong, but we didn't really talk about
enough
it until...
to where it would, like, really disturb the show, though. Like, I would listen to the show. I wouldn't go, oh, Holly's going through it.
What would you say?
I don't think at the beginning, because when you start a new show, and especially on a top 40 station, like, we had a strategy, and, you know, this is for any show, I feel like, is that you don't bear everything.
Right.
Like, you're very two-dimensional. Like, it's very, like, here's Hollywood, here's trending, here's our blown-off segment, the second date update. Right, where it's like, we weren't really going into personal stuff. stuff yet. And so it was just like, new story, haha, funny, funny, funny. And then slowly but surely you start to unravel the onion and people get to know you.
Well, I wanted to say that's the professional part right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you see what I'm saying? That's why I asked Miguel, because I mean, I can't speak to it, but I tried my hardest to be as professional,
right,
finger air quotes,
yeah,
during that time, because I was like, well, I don't want to be a bad radio partner because I'm here for a reason.
Right.
And then I also don't want to be like just a bad radio host. So when we finally did talk about it, I kind of let some of the guard down, talked about it on the air, got a ton of good feedback, but then didn't talk about it a whole lot after that.
No.
It was just like the one reveal. And then we didn't really talk too much about it until after I got better.
Yeah.
Because it's, you can't.
It was painful.
It's painful.
How long did it take you to get better?
I mean, I really honestly think it took about, let's see, like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 months.
It was a minute.
I didn't think it would last that long, but everybody's different. I mean, everybody's different. Some people it takes like a month. Some people it takes 6 months. Some people take a year. But everybody's different. And as long as you've got supportive people, then you'll eventually get out of it. But
I don't know. It's kind of like when your dog dies.
Mm.
Some people will go get a dog immediately, and some people, I don't want anything to do with a dog right now.
Right,
right, right.
Not
I
saying
need time.
That my fiance was like a dog. I'm not saying that.
Just the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, and that's sort of one of the reasons why we wanted to sort of chat
yes.
with you on the air, because you popped into our office the other day, and we had like a little conversation, a little powwow. And we were saying how I feel like that's one of the cornerstones of like what our show is giving sort of that safe space to be able to talk about whatever's in your life. And that's one of the things that like we're teaching Scott, who's in college, and, you know, he's approaching his first year sort of, you know, being in radio, and constantly teaching him to bring that guard down, to bring that guard down. Because for our audience and like who we talk to, because I always explain that every radio station is like its own universe. And for the station that you're on,
right,
that universe is a little more hostile than our universe.
It's crazy over there.
It is. And so for us, we live in the space where, like when I talk to people who listen to our podcast, they say, I always relate or learn something, because we're not talking about Kim Kardashian and, you know, entertainment. It's
right.
Like, this is the raw stuff that happens, and sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not, you know? And so that's why I wanted to give you the opportunity just to sort of like talk about it if you want, if not, whatever, but just sort of give you the platform to be able to talk about it.
All right. I appreciate that. It's different talking about it on someone else's platform as opposed to your own.
Yeah.
Right.
When a part of you, that's all you're thinking about. You're thinking about, oh, man, I was telling you guys. So my show's from 6 to 9. At 9, I would go home. I'd run out of here. I'd get here early. I'll get here early all day.
Mm-hmm.
But at 9, I like to just kind of, that's the end of my work day.
Right.
And there's really nothing else. I'll do some social media stuff or whatever, but that's it. And then I got home the other night, and I was like, why am I rushing to get home?
Mm.
There's no reason. And I realized, like, being in a relationship is a lot of times you're just making yourself available for that person, and you're
right.
just hanging out with them.
Yeah.
You're not really doing anything.
No, it's just the act of being together. And when a relationship is working, that's a good thing for the most part. I mean, like,
yes.
you have to deviate a little bit outside of that, but that's typically the structure of a good, healthy relationship.
And then you get into a groove, and you like that groove, and you and your girl, you guys do certain things, and you like certain things a certain way. Going back to rushing home at 9 o'clock, I don't have that anymore.
Right.
So my dog died like 3 weeks before we broke up.
Oh,
you are going through it.
I said, oh, man, it can only get better from here.
Yeah.
So my dog died, and that, like, broke. That, whatever was left for me and her, we didn't have enough to overcome that.
Right.
Now, backing up, I do have to disclose our 14-year relationship went through a lot of ups and downs, including a move to Tampa after I had quit a number one radio show in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
After I quit that number one radio show, I found out I had stage 3 kidney disease.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's how I got on the bone. I got hired here, and I started working again. Didn't want to be in radio. I was done. I was done with radio.
Mm-hmm.
I was jaded. I was the opposite of this man right here.
Right. Yeah.
The part of the body is the non-jaded.
And I'm going to tell you, you can feel that. Like, he has a good energy.
Yeah.
And us old radio people, we need that. It's like having a baby.
Yeah.
And you have hope again. You're like, oh, man, this guy's going to kill it. And Miguel feeling like that. He's like, I'm going to give him all the tools.
Yes.
And you're gonna get out there. You're going to just rip it apart.
Yes.
So letting that guard down, you just got to do it.
Right.
I mean.
And you know what's interesting is that when you talk about that sort of thing is I remember, you know, when I first started in radio and I remember like the older on-air personalities when I worked in Savannah, when they would answer the phone calls as people would call in right. like off the air and they'd be like, 97.3 Kiss FM, what do you want?
Oh.
And I'd be like, why are you so mean to people? But now I get it because after you've been doing it for all these years and then when people call up and like their radio's still up and their mm-hmm. phone's on Bluetooth and you can't hear them and they're like, huh? And you're like, I literally, my patience is so thin because I'm tired.
And I'm doing stuff.
Exactly. There's stuff going on. So like, I get that frustration, but you described it perfectly.
Yeah. And especially if somebody, you know, that wants it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. It's like yeah. having someone that's excited about it. And I've said this before with Holly and I is that we needed that sort of jolt of energy because we were just, you know, after some stuff, you know, in the station didn't go so well this summer. And we were sort of like, well, kind of over it. And then it was like, he was like, hey, I really like radio. I want to know. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
You want to know what we do?
Well, yeah. You can like sniff it out. When you are a radio person, like an old school radio person that has been in it for like over a decade like yeah. we have. When you get someone new who genuinely is interested, like Scotty is,
right.
and who is good at it, not mm-hmm. just interested in it, but has the interest, the talent, and also the hard work ethic to want to, because, mm-hmm. God, this is a difficult business to break into for the on-air part.
It mm-hmm. is. Oh, yeah.
But so you have to have all these things, and no one's going to hand it to you. And no. he's scrappy. So it's like you can sense it in it's like the Force.
Yeah.
Like you're a radio person. You can sense it in another one, and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, you're not taking yet. Let me suck you in.
But you got to make sure you don't taint him.
That's right. What I'm saying. I keep talking about this bubble that we need to keep on Scotty because I'm like, listen, yeah. we bitch so much. He's probably going to get sick of this and quit before we.
No, I love it all. I'm taking it all in. I'm learning so much every day from good, bad, and ugly. I love it.
It's a shame that you weren't in radio before social media was such a thing.
Mm.
Because now you got a little crowd following you all the time, like chirping in your ear. And mm-hmm. they're not... I hate to say it. Sometimes the good is just as bad as the bad. The bad is not as bad as it ever is. And you're never as bad as they say you are, and you're never as good as they say you are.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you lock on to the negative, that's all you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody will tell you how you changed their life because they were following you and you did something, and you'll be like, whatever, somebody just called me this. Like, you'll just pass that person because screw them. You yes. think I'm good? Okay, cool.
It takes like 5 good comments to erase 1 negative comment.
Right.
It mm-hmm. really does. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have people be like, you make my morning. I'm living a new life because of you. And that one person was like, I think Holly's a racist. And I was like, well, fuck me.
Whoa.
That's what? Fine.
No, literally.
No, wait,
that's
literally.
What I'm saying. So, like, if you're a racist.
Apparently.
No.
Yeah,
no. Is that the prize you get for calling you a racist?
Exactly.
Hey, so what I was trying to say about being young,
mm-hmm.
Having that young energy, well, now I'm trying to tap into some of that young energy as well, now that I'm back on the dating scene.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I found out that when I don't have to rush home at 9, well, where the hell would I go?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
So
right.
where does Kevin go? I got to figure all that shit out again.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't you say someone suggested that he do what?
My producer, JR, he goes, hey, man, just go down. When you get off the show, just go down downtown St. Pete and just walk around. And I was like, you know what? That's why I got rid of the bitch. I just wanted to walk the streets.
Yeah.
I just wanted to walk. I went and bought me some shoes, and I'm walking.
SBK's just walking down
just
Central Avenue, just like, hey.
Just
waving?
Every bar. How y'all doing?
Are you drink? Waving at people?
Just waving, saluting.
Howdy.
It depends. Some people get a salute. Some people get a wave.
Yeah. Right. Somebody gets a wink.
Somebody,
yeah.
Like, you got a hot chick. All right, now. Watch out, that boy. And then since I'm old black dude, uncle at the barbecue, I got to always be eating something. Like
oh, of course.
Peanuts. You got to have the hats. And mm-hmm. you always clean them a glass. What do yeah. you say now?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Why is there always so much glasses cleaning?
That's what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And the so thing is, they can't hear you, but they clean. They're like, huh? What? What do you say?
What do you say? I'm like, no. That's the wrong senses. Too much.
I want to be that guy.
Oh, my
I think
gosh.
I am already.
You can turn into it. That's fine.
And can I say that? All right. So here's the deal. So I had a kidney transplant, and mm-hmm. I was sick for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I hate how we're laughing and like, all right.
He's like, back no, but let's get serious.
I do that on purpose. I do that. I like to keep people laughing and be like, seriously, I just got like, some bad news. That's funny
okay.
to me.
You know,
to just right. be like, what are you laughing about?
We can pivot really well. So what's up with kidney?
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a kidney transplant. I have found a total stranger to give me a kidney. And by that, I mean, I got off work, got home at 6 o'clock at night. And I stayed on the internet sending emails and corresponding with people until I passed out on my computer.
Oh, wow.
I did that every night. Wake up, do it again, go to work, come home, do it again. It was crazy.
That's nuts.
And how long did that go on for?
I did that for a year and a half.
Oh, my God.
Just trying to find someone you would match with.
I did that for a year and a half after I moved to a city for half the pay. I didn't know anybody. Mm. And I commuted from Orlando every day for 8 months.
Wow.
Two hours both ways.
Jeez.
So, hey, I wanted some radio.
Right.
But also wanted some benefits.
Exactly.
So that tore our relationship apart.
Now, and real quick, because I want to kind of go back just a couple of steps. So are you from Orlando originally?
I'm from Tallahassee, Florida.
From Tallahassee. And
yes.
So when did you move to Orlando?
I moved to Orlando in 2001.
Okay, and then that's when your radio career
kicked
off?
In 2001, I started
off
with the Clear Channel in Orlando.
Okay, and so then you were doing that for how long until you met your now ex?
Ooh, I was in radio. When did
he's like, hold
when
on,
did Obama run and win the first time?
08.
Mm-hmm. That was before 08.
Yeah, so
2004, 2000.
Oh, wow.
We were together 14 years. So
he's like, I did the math already.
Do some math.
Whatever
like
that math is.
Yeah, like that. So I was in radio and I was single probably for about 3 years.
And then,
3 or 4 years before I met her.
And how did you two meet?
We met on MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so I know, I'm dating myself. You're like, what? If you tried to pull that up on your phone right now, it would explode. Yeah. And you can log in into MySpace with your Facebook login.
Because Facebook owns everything, basically.
Yeah. Okay,
basically.
So she sent me have a nice weekend text, because this is crazy. I went to the hospital a week before, and I wasn't feeling so hot. My head was hurting. I was sweating like I am now, but not, it's a different sweat. I was not feeling good. They took my blood pressure. They took it four times. It was like 225 over 187.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And you weren't dead.
And they said, how are you walking, sir?
Wow.
Immediately put me on a gurney. I was in the hospital for a week. They were trying to get my blood pressure under control. This was 14 years ago.
Wow.
I was already sick.
Yeah. How come they didn't figure that out then?
You tell me. And I had health care.
Wow.
Don't get me started on that. But
so your body was already giving you signs that something was wrong.
I was in bad shape.
Wow.
And I didn't know it. A week later, I got out, and she said, well, I came back on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, welcome back. Have a great weekend in glitter.
On MySpace.
And MySpace,
I was like,
glitter.
Oh,
yes.
I'm finna hit. I'm finna hit.
Nothing God. Says I'm about to get
that's
up in
right.
it than glitter.
Oh,
glitter.
I love a good glitter.
And that shit was right now. It was like a gling, you know, like a my fairy godmother
yes.
was
just
blessing me.
Come in with
you.
Some sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, a friend of mine named Bernard, he says, hey, man, I want to introduce you to this girl that works at my gym.
Mm.
I think you'd like her. And then I go, what, she didn't like you? He goes, nah, she wouldn't. You
know,
nah, she didn't really want. And I said, okay. So then there was a martini fest about like a week after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been talking back and forth on MySpace. And she gave me her number. I called her, and she says, hey, I'm going to have to call you back in a few days. I am literally moving into a new place right now. The movers are here, and I'm sorry. I'll talk to you later. She called me a week later. I invited her out to the Martini Fest.
Mm.
We go to the Martini Fest. My buddy Bernard's there,
and
he goes, hey, this is the girl I wanted to introduce you to.
No way.
Yes.
It was the same girl.
It was the same girl. And he said, and we were saying, I think we would have met anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
clearly.
Amazing.
That was the good part. And we were together from that day. Well, I would say, yeah, we never separated since that day we met, that first blind date.
That's crazy.
So then at that point, you went through the number one radio show in Orlando.
Oh, you're fast
good
forwarding.
Money. Oh,
you're
no.
fast forwarding oh. 14 years.
Well, no, I was going to get to the moment when you started commuting to Tampa.
Okay, so I was on the Monsters Real Radio in Orlando. I had my show before that. I had SBK Live. I did that show for 5 years.
Okay.
It was number one, too. And then when they started, they cut a big part of the morning show, a guy named Daniel Dennis. They cut him off the show. Well, he quit.
Mm.
They didn't cut him. Let me say that. He quit because he had his own podcast empire going on, right?
Oh.
And they needed somebody to replace him because he was a big part of that show. Mm. I had a number one night show, and they were like, yo, Kevin's funny. Let's put Kevin in there. Mm. And I'm like, no, let's let Kevin keep his show.
I got my own show.
Right. So they fired my producer, put me on the morning show. And I went from hosting a show to being fourth mic on the show that I started radio in as an intern.
Oh.
And then 2 months after that, they hired my co-host from my old show to be the producer of the show. So I'm sitting there now, and it's like my right-hand man.
Right.
We're both working for someone else. And it's not the people, but the situation made it crazy.
Yeah.
Right, right, because you felt like you're taking some steps back from your
life. I was
life.
Taking steps back,
yeah.
And then it got real because once I joined the morning show, they hit number one for the first time in 6 years.
Oh.
And I didn't really get any credit on that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then my contract was coming up, and I was told that I was going to be compensated handsomely for what I provided to the morning show, which was the most important thing on any radio station.
Of course.
I was not.
Mm.
So that's when I said, I'm not signing this contract. I'm out of here. I'm going to buy a food truck. I'm going to blow my 401k out and be broke. And
yeah.
I'll be back.
Woo!
I'll be back
Hell
in
yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
And I take half the money.
Yes.
But that's what happened.
Wow.
I was willing to lose my life fortune on a food truck.
Wow. What kind of food truck?
I don't know.
Oh. All right.
Did you have like a plan, like a
yeah,
it was
going to
be like SBK's barbecue?
SBK's
or?
Barbecue. Was,
yeah.
I was going to have a DJ. I was going to have girls in bikinis twerking. I had it all.
Hell yeah.
I was going to start with a hot dog cart called Bikini Weenie.
Oh.
Wow.
And I was going to have internet. And you could see the girls making hot dogs and twerking. And that was my plan. I quit radio to do that.
Love wow. Bikini
do
Weenie.
Do that now.
Yeah, Bikini yes. Weenie, yeah.
I want you to open up Bikini Weenie.
Wait. All right. I already copyright. I got all, you know, Bikini Weenie.
But what happened to Bikini Weenie?
I was on the way to go see a man about a food truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from Shannon Burke, who used to do middays on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated him. Hey, I didn't know I was sick yet, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
I did not know because I wouldn't have quit the morning show job if I knew
mm.
and left the town where I knew everybody. I would have never done that.
Yeah.
Never do that.
Wow.
Stay around your support.
Yikes.
Yeah, I said, all right, man, I'll come over and see your new setup, because he was broadcasting out of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Canceled appointment with the food truck dude. Went in there, saw the little setup, tricked me into staying and doing a show with him that day. And then I was like, damn, man, I think I'm back in radio.
Like once you get out, then you're like, I hate this shit. I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back for one thing or you do one little, and then you're like, damn it.
Mm, gotta go back.
I can, I'll just say that I worked for Burke because he was an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked out our own agreement about how he was going to pay me to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best situation I ever had in radio.
Mm. Really? So he was paying you out of his pocket, not from
his company.
Not
yeah.
from our company that we work for now,
right,
but
right.
from his own personal company.
And I was just like an independent contractor.
Wow.
And I was 6 minutes. That's if I got stopped at the light. I was 6 minutes from home.
Oh, my goodness.
Even with the light. And it was a three-hour show, 11 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk in at 11, walk out at 2, and I was in the pool. I was in the pool sometime before the outro of the show stopped playing.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know,
gosh.
You leave a little early.
Yeah.
Than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the top of the hour, the next show, I'm listening to the next show intro. I'm in my pool.
Wow. And so were you making what you were making at Clear Channel?
Hell no.
No? Okay. So that you weren't making anywhere near that, but it was still good.
It was still good.
Yeah.
From what I just described to you.
Right. For 3 hours.
I could have done that forever.
Right.
That's why when that show got canceled, because it was bad negotiation, mostly on Burke's side.
Yeah.
But once that didn't work out, another radio lesson. You can't really play hardball if you don't have the ratings. You can't demand anything.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
I tried to tell them that.
Yeah. You got to have the proof to back it up for them to.
Because what reason would they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to. So he didn't really have. It was crazy. So I was like, uh-oh, what is happening here?
Mm.
I was progressively getting worse.
And did you know you were sick at this point?
At that point, yes.
Okay.
I knew I was sick, and I revealed it on Drew's show,
mm-hmm.
Drew Garabo Live, when I filled in guest host for him.
Mm-hmm.
After that, my situation, so I started at 22% kidney function when I first started. It fell to 17. So think about this. In 3 months, it fell to 17. So for my entire life, you know, I'm 40 years old at the time. For my entire life, I've been living 40 years and I've gotten to 22%.
Wow.
And then in 3 months, I go from 22 to 17. That's a free fall.
Yes.
And so they were preparing me for dialysis.
Mm.
The best case scenario for a person trying to get a kidney transplant. By the way, if you don't hear anything that I say in this entire thing, I just want to put out that an annual physical with blood work will save your life. I never got an annual physical, so all of the signs, when you were like, well, how did they catch this? That was not being done.
Mm.
I wasn't doing that. So if you do that every year, you'll always know where you're staying.
Right.
So that's how I could have gotten all of the early indicators. You know, not to mention I was on a bag full of blood pressure medicines.
Oh, really? Oh, so since that time that you'd been to the hospital, your blood pressure was still up?
Oh, my blood pressure was up like crazy, and I was on a bag full of pills.
And they didn't know why your blood pressure was so high.
I would switch. I went through so many different classes of drugs trying to figure out the right mix to get my blood pressure under control. I was losing weight. I stopped doing all the stuff I wasn't supposed to do, but my body was wired to have high blood pressure. Come to find out, in the very end, I was born with smaller than average size kidneys from birth.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor said I would have ended up where I was no matter what I'd done in life. He goes, if anything, you prolonged it. You did a good job of prolonging it.
Wow.
All right, so at 17%, they put a tube into my stomach. And I had a tube, and you could see it. I walked around with it for about a year and a half, and it was like a hose with a cap so I could do a dialysis when I go to sleep.
Mm.
I never got there because the best case scenario is a living donor, never have been on dialysis, and that's what I was trying to do, which is like the best way to get a kidney transplant. In my mind, from the day they told me, when the doctor told me I was sick, I looked at my fiance and I go, well, got to go get a kidney. I was like, can y'all check me out of here?
Right.
I got to
right.
go get a kidney. Like, that's the way I looked at it. I was like, that was easy for me to focus on.
Right.
What else do I don't need anything else.
Well, now that you have an end game and you know what you need, you can make it happen and not just say we're going to keep taking a bunch of pills for high blood pressure.
Right. But now you go into survival mode.
Right. While you are engaged to someone who's healthy.
Yes. You go into survival mode. And so you go into two modes. You go into, I got to do what I got to do to stay alive. And you also go into, I might not make it.
So you're sort of like, you're sort of preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best?
Yeah. My doctor told me, he goes, if I give you one piece of advice, you don't stop looking for a kidney until you are on the operating table. He said, it's not a deal until you are on the operating table.
Right.
They can withdraw. And I saw when it went down, too. When I went in there, they go in there and they go, all right, look, if you want to back out of this, we can say there's a blood issue. We can say there's something wrong, and we can just end it right here.
Oh.
And then he signed the thing. He goes, nope. And then they brought me in. It was like, all right, it's going to happen.
Wow.
It's like it's. And I was like, whew. My point is, I ended up finding four people that were matches. Mm. And then I had to pick the best one. So the highlight of that story was I had a guy. Kidneys go from a range of matching from 1 to 6. I might be saying this wrong. A 1 would be if you got a kidney from your mother or your father or your brother or something. That's a 1.
Mm-hmm.
A 2 would be, mother or father would be a 1. Brother or sister would be a 2.
Okay.
It goes in degrees like that.
Right.
So I was trying to get the most compatible one that I could get. And I had a guy that was, I had him ranked in order.
Mm-hmm.
There was 3 men and a female. I had to put the female last because kidneys need to, even though it matched me, it didn't match my body size because she had a small frame and her kidneys were built to support someone of her size and her build.
Right.
So I couldn't use her.
Right.
And one dude was like 300 pounds. He wasn't going to pass the physical. And he goes, man, screw that. I'm going to lose the weight. Homeboy lost the weight and hollered back at me and was like, I'm good.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, that's crazy.
Holy crap.
And then there was another guy who was, he was a personal trainer and he was ripped. And I called him the rip dude.
Yeah.
And then there was another dude that was the Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him the Marine guy. The Marine guy had the best kidney on paper. And he got 95% through the process. I'll never forget it. I was on the air. We had a rule. They knew that my phone would ring all the time.
Right.
And I have to run out of the room sometimes. And then sometimes I just run out of room for the hell of it.
You're like, oh, phone
emergency. Dot com. Anyway, no, I'm joking about that. But then I ran out the room and they said, we have some bad news for you. Your donor was, he had one more blood screening. That the scrutiny that you go through to be a kidney donor is next level. You can be in great shape. You can be a perfectly healthy person that's going to live to be 100. Mm. And you still may not be eligible to donate a kidney.
Right.
You have to be, because the kidney, when someone takes a kidney from you, it doesn't leave you better off.
Right.
So you need to be able to overcome all of that.
Right.
And accommodate for that. And you're doing it. You're putting your health at a risk for a total stranger.
Mm.
That's crazy. I will never be able to wrap my head around it.
No.
That's like, huge. I got an old neighbor from across the street, old lady. Like, she be look like she be hurting when she be walking. Sometimes I pull a trash can out for her, and I feel like I'd have done way more. I shouldn't even done this for you.
You're like, I have helped a lot today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a hero.
I'm going to heaven. Right there, that was like, I'm going to heaven. So,
if you put it back, I don't even know. They give you bonus points in heaven.
I don't know. So, I'm on the air. They called me. They said, oh, sorry, bad news. Your match is not... your match is not, he's been disqualified. Something bad came back in his blood, and this was the last test. Y'all could have scheduled surgery. And this was in November. I thought I was going to be getting a kidney for Christmas. They only test one person at a time.
Mm.
It's a big workup to test people. They test one person at a time. So when the person drops off, you go back and you restart all of your testing with another candidate. So I had to call the second guy on the list. Meanwhile, this is all going on while I'm on the show in the midst of just laughing,
right,
joking.
Yeah.
Just
like, radio show. Woo!
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah.
And then I call the guy and I say, I had to call him and tell him, hey, thanks for wanting to donate the kidney. I don't need it, but
right,
thank you. I appreciate it. To calling him a couple months later going, hey.
What you doing now?
What's up? How's your kidney? I mean, your family. And I said, have you developed a heroin problem in the last couple months? He goes, no. And I go, well, if you still like to give me that kidney, I'd love to have it.
Wow.
And he goes, hell yeah, let's do it.
Oh, my goodness. And this is a complete stranger.
He's a complete stranger.
Wow.
Guy named Brian DeLeon. I asked him, why is he doing it? And he goes, why do firefighters run into burning buildings?
Wow.
Why does anybody do anything? It calls them. It's just what you, why are we doing radio? Like, maybe that's not it, but I'm saying, like, something just calls you to do something. He said he felt like it was the right thing to do.
Wow.
With that being said, when you have that, I'm in survivor mode.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. You don't really think about yourself being in a relationship anymore.
Mm. Well, you're focused on living.
Yeah.
And I used to say the best thing I can do for this relationship is stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come out of the end of this the same person, though.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm healthier than I've ever been. I'm in bad shape, and it's the best shape I've ever been in. Oh, like, man, even me looking bad is good for me.
Right.
But you're just not the same. I say that I'm like the pet cemetery version of myself. I'm here, but it ain't right. It ain't like, because there's some things that are different about me that are good.
Right.
Post. But I want to save those for the end.
Oh, okay. We'll turn it good in the end.
Oh, it'll be, I don't know if it's good. It might be nasty.
Oh,
it's something.
Okay, it's something. So that's kind of, that drove a wedge. It's hard to be that partner for your partner when every available waking hour, I'm trying to lay down and go to sleep. I got to the point, it slows your body down. That's what happens when you get kidney disease. It's like slowly dimming the light until it's just off.
Wow.
They say it's one of the best ways to die.
Really?
Because there's no pain.
You just go to sleep.
You just fade away. Yeah, you just fade away.
That's
so
crazy.
All of the things that you did as a couple, like, you know, if you did like date night or we cooked dinner together or we're going to go visit, like the yearly tradition that we have as a couple, did all of it just come to a screeching halt?
No, it all happened. I just was sitting there.
But you weren't really present.
Uh-uh.
You were inside your own body, inside your own mind, and trying to survive instead of being with another person.
I was physically feeling run down.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do anything. And here's how I can describe how it felt when it got to its worst. I would I would only, like I said, I would only get out of bed in time to get in the car and come to work. And then I'd go home and I cooked dinner because I had to eat this weird diet, some crazy shit. Oh. And she was eating regular food and that was cool. But it was just like I was already on a different path with that kind of thing. And I would get out of the shower, dry off, and then sit down on my bed and start sweating because I was winded. Ooh. I'd be winded and tired from drying off with a towel. That's right. How tired I was at some point. When you can't release the toxins out of your body just slowly, and then you get if you can't release the toxins, I didn't sweat. Here's the weird thing. I didn't have to take showers that much. I didn't sweat. I didn't stink. It was all on the inside.
I get it.
All
I
had no odors. That you do, it's releasing that stuff from your body, sweating and everything.
That's what the kidneys do. They filter everything. Yeah.
I didn't sweat for 3 years.
Wow.
I never well, unless I was like tired. I would have these episodes where I would be like, why am I tired? I just got out of the shower. But that's what it was. I was just not myself. When you guys would see me around here, you didn't know before, but I was more like this than I was kind of just slow. I mean, my mind was still sharp, and you know, but I would sometimes start talking and get lost. The toxins cloud your mind, and it's called, I forgot what they call it. I should forget. It's forgetful. it's like some kind of fog, the kidney brain fog where your thoughts aren't.
They're not all there.
Because it's toxins.
You have a hard time doing simple math problems, they would say. Like, and I would get confused and laughing at stuff and hearing stuff in my head, taking up what?
Where you're like, who? What?
What? Huh? Who?
Is someone else in the studio?
I felt like I was like going crazy.
Wow.
And that, it's still with me too a little bit, a lot of that. But at the end, I turn around and I'm like, I walk out of that hospital. I'm like, all right, yes. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And my girl's like, ready to go? Where?
Wow.
This has been crazy.
So how long were you living with all of that up until the surgery?
That's about 4 years.
So 4 years, you and your fiance have been dealing with this and trying to find a kidney. You've been focused on just living. You come out of the hospital with a renewed lease on life.
Yes.
And then where was she? Was she just...
I feel like she was going through something that I cannot understand, and we weren't communicating about her part of it. We weren't. We were communicating about my part of it.
And you know why, though? I mean, just to put myself in her shoes for a second, like, if I'm with you and you're going through literally a life or death situation, every issue that I might have pales in comparison.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to take anything that I'm going through to a person who is dying.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. If you're going to be in a relationship, the relationship don't stop.
Mm.
And we didn't have a manual. We didn't know what to do. We had the same issues going into this that everybody else did.
Yeah.
So think about adding... I don't know. Like, what if you were tired of somebody and then you go, and you're sick?
Oh.
Good Lord, get out of here.
It's so much.
But she stayed with me and we went through a whole bunch of things. I cannot tell you everything she went through, but I'm in a better position now to realize that she went through different things. And I started realizing that a little too late. It was a little too late to turn the tide on, you know, it's like turn a big ship around. It was too late to turn that ship around.
Right.
That relationship was just... It was done. We don't hate each other. We sat down and calm. Actually, it didn't start calm. It was like, you know, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then I said to myself, I was like, what? Wait a minute.
What's going on?
And then I looked at her, and I said, I feel like I'm the only one trying. And I know there's a lot we have to overcome, but I feel like you're not trying like I'm trying. And she says, I'm not. And she says, I don't think I can again. I don't think I can try. I think I'm done. And I saw it on her face. I saw like the energy was gone.
Right.
And I was like,
you can tell.
I gave her a hug and I said, let's just figure out what we need to figure out.
Yeah. Right.
And then we talked a couple days later. And then we had just signed a lease in December.
And this all just went down how long ago?
This part went down like 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So this is, I mean.
It's fresh.
Yeah.
I've had. What, one weekend, two weekends by myself?
Mm.
And the weekends aren't hard. It's the general, like I said, I realized I was at home a lot because you're just around. I don't have any hobbies. Mm. I don't have these routines or places I go and all of that. So, Hoppy.
Ryan Hoppe.
Ryan Hoppe.
He is something.
One of our promotions people that also helps out on Bone on the air. And,
yeah.
Holly, how would you describe Ryan Hoppe if someone doesn't know
who he is?
First
of all, just visually, he's like this hulking giant. He's like this 7 foot tall, awkward guy who is a little off.
Yeah.
A little. Like, you don't really know in what way, because he's a nice guy. Anytime I've had interactions with Ryan Hoppe, he's super nice.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little quirky, obviously. He rubs people the wrong way sometimes because he just sometimes will shoot things off at the mouth, and you're like,
why would you
say that, Ryan Hoppe? Like, you're already a little weird, and now you're saying crazy shit. But he means well, and he loves radio. So that does that help?
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. It describes who he is. But he has a podcast too, Hoppe Hour.
Yeah.
That I think all of us have been on. Even Scott's been on it.
You went on Hoppe Hour?
Oh, yeah, I was on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you've been on Hoppe Hour, then you know what's up.
You made it. Yeah, you know.
Well, Cindy, you also know that Hoppe may not be the best person to give dating advice.
Absolutely not.
But he says he crushes it on Tinder.
Okay.
That's what he says. He says, this is what Hoppe told me. He goes, dude, I'm crushing it on Tinder.
That's what he sounds like.
I banged a black chick.
Did he really say that?
I banged a black chick, dude. And I was like, you want a high five?
Oh, no.
So that's an example of no filter.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
None of that was important.
No, no.
To me at all.
Oh, no. My. Okay. So.
And then I started praying. Just for the future.
Yeah, like just help
world,
help us, Jesus.
The world needs
this is it.
More Jesus.
Now, have you been hanging out with him, or he was just giving you dating advice?
He was giving me dating advice, and then I realized, well, how old is Hoppe? 24?
Yes, I think
so. I'm 44.
So. Yeah.
I'm like, what are you, dude? Like, he's speaking another language.
Right.
So then I said, okay, I'll jump on Tinder. So I jumped on Tinder. I've been on there for about a week. I've gotten a couple of matches.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that. I don't understand what's going on.
What do you mean?
I was under the impression that Tinder was a hookup app.
It can be.
I think half and half.
That's the only way I've actually ever heard of it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's half. I think like half the people on there, and I think this is researched, half the people on there are looking for relationships, and the other half just want to, you know.
Get it on.
Okay. Well, see, here's the confusion. That other half that wants to get it on, they all have no hookups in their profile.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I'm not understanding.
I don't know.
Well, there's girls that will show you sex appeal more than just I'm a pretty lady. Uh-huh. Like, look at these titties, kind of thing.
Titties out.
But it's like no hookups, no friend, no FWBs.
Friends with benefits.
And so I'm like,
okay.
My buddy, I got another buddy that's on there, and he's like, yeah, I bang this chick. And I'm looking at her profiles, no hookups.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So what is going on?
Well, I mean, you can look like a slut, but you don't say you're a slut.
Well, why are you on Tinder? That's the slut app.
I know.
See, but it's not. This is what I always feel like you can always tell, because I was the king of online dating.
Okay. I have zero online dating experience.
I've done it all my life. I mean, in the past year and a half with my boyfriend now is probably like the longest I've been. Actually, this is the longest.
That you've been without apps?
I have been without apps. Now that I'm thinking about this, probably since I was a junior in high school.
Wait a minute. I should have came straight to you.
I can tell you what works and what doesn't work.
Are you the aggressor? Are you the pursuer when you see something you like? Or are you used to lay back and wait?
I would go back and forth. It was depending upon how confident I was feeling about myself.
Okay.
But usually what I would do is I would always try to find something interesting about their profile or their picture or whatever and be like, oh, hey, whatever the opening line. And then if they responded back and actually like said something witty, or if they were like, oh my gosh, you're cute or whatever, then we'd be a conversation. Or you'd have the people that'd be like, oh, that was funny. What are you doing tonight?
Oh.
And then you're like, all right, well, this is a hookup.
They get straight to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So the people who want to, now I'm not sure reverse when it comes to women. I don't know if it'll be the same.
I don't think it's as blatant if it's women.
But I have a feeling though, if they're on Tinder, like, and usually you're not wanting to sit there and take up a bunch of time and like having conversations for 3 days.
They will say that no pen pals. I mean, they're not. A lot of people I find is a certain category. Some people don't want to meet.
Right.
They're just on there for the game.
Right.
Yeah. Just
to
chat.
And I don't even understand what you can get out of just putting 4 pictures up and no profile.
Right.
I have your name, your age, your location, and just 4 pictures. One of you holding a fish. Right. And you got to have the fish picture. If you don't, I'm mad at you. The girl's like, here's me holding a fish in a bikini.
Yeah.
All right, here's me at a sporting event. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Here's me at a corporate event. I can dress up. Mm-hmm. And then here's me around the house in my jammies with my dog. Snuggle up on. That's every woman on Tinder.
Wow, good thing I never got on Tinder.
Yeah.
I'm not holding any fish.
Right.
Can't.
And then when the Christian women get on there, I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, what are they?
They need to be
doing?
On Christian Mingle.
Exactly.
I hear that's where all the action is.
Oh. Christian Mingle?
Yeah. What I figured out is the game for me, I do better in person. Mm. I'm a horrible communicator via text, and like I'm not good with that. I'm not good at posts on Facebook and Twitter. I have no interest in writing something, a long post. I have an interest in talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I can get in person with the person, that will, I mean, it's hard to do that, though. It's just right. hard.
Now, let me ask you. I mean, you are 3 weeks out of a 14-year, you know, even though maybe at the end, you know, it yeah. wasn't, you know, it wasn't so great. But, I mean, are you ready to jump back into it that soon?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Oh, as long as you know.
Oh, I'm not even, I'm not trying to meet anybody.
Right. This is
I'm
just
one of these people, I'm just talking.
Right, just
you're
to fill
looking
time.
At the situation.
I am talking just to interact with people.
Got it.
Not really looking. If somebody said they wanted to meet up for a drink, I don't know. I mean, I could meet somebody for a drink. I go out and have drinks anyway.
Right,
right.
I'm
right.
Not looking to go out and spend no money on any of these heifers.
Yeah. Maybe you should put that in your bio.
I ain't spending money on no heifers.
That's
no.
right.
No
not
heifers.
Doing it. Well, as long as they do. Because then I feel like you run into the problem of like some people that get you out on a date, then they're like, well, I want to date you, and right. you're just taking me out for drinks, and there's
they
nothing
else. They want
to
date me? Like what? What do you mean?
Like, you know, become your boo thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. man. I'll be
so
a
you gotta
horrible
be careful.
Boo thing.
You got to be careful. So my suggestion would be, I mean, keep that for the fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you asked for a suggestion, but here I am.
Oh, no. Right. I was getting ready to ask you about
I feel like for you, it's only been the 3 weeks or whatever. So, yeah, do that for fun, because now you can look. You know what I'm saying? Like,
can I say that but me and my girl, and they're – the intimacy, you know.
I mean, you were sick.
It went down.
So, yeah, but now it's back up.
Hey.
What I'm saying is we turned into roommates.
Got it.
Like a long time ago.
Got it.
And if we had sex, it was by accident. Like, ooh, did we fuck? Sorry. My bad.
That's rolled wrong. Yeah. I didn't mean to.
It just, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's
right,
like.
Right. Yes. It was that rare occurrence.
And, then near the end, when I kind of felt like it was going that way. I knew it was going that way.
Mm.
I was like, man, well, don't want to fuck up and get have a baby right now.
Oh, that would be dangerous.
We kind of did want to have a kid.
Yeah.
And I just think that would have been the wrong move.
Right.
That would have been to save the relationship, baby.
Babies don't save anything.
Oh, I know.
Nope.
No, they don't.
Nope.
We had to stop. I'm not ready. I'm just like talking. That's it.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Like,
but I'm being upfront too.
But that's good. As long as you're upfront with people.
I like that I can reset, and dating Kevin from this point on, I can be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I have I have no reason to lie to anybody.
Yeah.
Right. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good place to be, because you feel like you can be yourself, and then whoever does happen to come across your path, like later on, you know that they like you for you and not whatever, you know, game you might be playing right there.
The reason why I know I'm not ready, I look at some profiles on Tinder, and I see women, and I read the description, and I say to myself, wow, this is legit someone that I would want to meet and like see, hey, you might be a good person to see where it goes. And when I see that great profile, I look at it and I go,
that's
I don't even what's right doesn't even appeal to me or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, whatever.
You're not there yet.
I'm not
going to be there for a while.
No,
so, because I know sort of behind the scenes we've talked about this, but like, you know, we talked about you moving here from Orlando. You were there for a long time, had success, have friends. You moved here a couple of years ago with her. Has she moved back to Orlando?
No, she has family in the area.
Okay, so she's here
in
the Tampa Bay area.
She's in the Tampa Bay area with family, which is good. They say that when men and women break up, that women usually surround themselves by family and friends, and that their healing takes a little bit longer, but it's deeper and more complete. And they said that men get over it quicker initially, but then it lingers and it never, ever, ever quite leaves.
Mm.
And that most men are permanently damaged from their very first heartbreak.
I believe that.
They say once it sets in, it changes a guy forever.
I believe that's how it works when... Because you know what sucks about our culture right now is that there are so many self-help books, movies, whatever, for women and for gay men.
Okay.
But for straight men, nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing available for straight men. Mm. And there's not even anything.
Like what? Like what do you mean? Like what's available?
Like, I mean, even just like a inspirational Instagram page for that I started following when I was going through my dark time. And like I would just read stuff that just... would kind of boost me a little bit.
See, the boost that we get is toxic.
Right.
Right.
Or just that's what I'm saying. Or like a network of women who are there to like pick you up and encourage you and like really break it down and why it went wrong and how and what's really happening. Men don't do this for each other.
Okay, well, I liken my 14-year relationship to a marriage in every aspect of the breakup part. And I looked at a couple videos, and I was looking at stuff from guys who had been married for 15 years. The only thing different in their situation and my situation is if there was kids or not.
Yeah.
Right.
We didn't have kids. We still had to split our shit up.
Yes.
And, right. Hey, yo, I want that. I'm taking that.
Yep.
But that was easy for me. I was like, take it all.
Right.
Yeah. It's really hard. And there, I've always felt like there's not any resources because I knew that my ex-husband was going through a hard time, but he was never – he's not a talker. I
talk too much.
Well, that's good.
I talk my
though.
Way out of a relationship.
That's good.
She was not a talker.
That's not
so good. So we'd have two arguments a year, and I'd just sit down and pop the popcorn because she'd run it down. In January, you did this. In February. Like, she kept it in, and then the relationship. It really wasn't about me not putting the toilet seat down.
No, right.
That's when it started. Yeah. It started with that. It was always something trivial.
It's
a lot machine. Another thing you
really
don't do.
It's really about XYZ.
It's about the whole alphabet.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So that was a thing that was hard for me and her. And I'm pretty sure that she felt like I made it difficult for her to talk to. Because I talk for a living. It's almost like, you know, you can't get in a fight with somebody if you're a karate man.
Right.
Mm.
You know, like Steven Seagal, well, he might be a bad example. But, you know, whoever the karate man is, you know, he can't just go around whooping on people.
Yeah, right.
They're going to put his ass in jail.
Right.
And that's how I feel like when we talk sometimes or I go to parties, I'll go in a room and get people worked up with some dumb shit and walk out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just laughing because people are so worked up about shit that I don't care about.
Yeah.
And that's... Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's part of me post-surgery, but I will say that, yeah, I don't really care about a lot of things in the sense of nothing's really that big of a deal. I'm not going to let stuff stress me out. The stuff that you think so big, it's just not.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying to you about social media.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't let it get in your head.
Right.
Use it as a tool and a weapon. You're not obligated. You're not obligated to let it run your life.
Now, I'm curious, so you've been through a kidney transplant, you came out with a new lease on life.
Yes.
Now you are truly starting afresh.
Yes.
What's next?
Ooh, I'm going to start a podcast. I had an old podcast that I did with my show, the guys I did the show with in Orlando, but they've moved on to other things now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start a new podcast. I'm going to start traveling. Mm. These are the things I know I'm going to do. I'm going to start traveling. I got a bunch of buddies like that I haven't seen since college.
Mm.
Going to take different trips to go see my college roommate in D.C. But then I realized, wait, I have like 5 friends in D.C. So I'll go to D.C., see a bunch of my friends. I'll go to Atlanta, see a bunch of my friends. And then I have to go to Seattle and see one of my friends. So that's what I'm going to do first.
You're doing the tour circuit of seeing friends, which is a great thing to do. And along the way, this was going to be my suggestion at some point in the conversation, instead of just like hopping into even just swiping on Tinder for fun, you got to figure out what you like to do for fun. That's just you.
Right.
What do you mean? I don't really do anything.
Yeah, I know.
You got to figure it out.
You got to figure it out.
Nothing. What's the same way? I got to start doing stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
What if I'm happy doing what I do now?
What do you do?
Nothing.
Well, no. You're not happy with doing nothing.
I am. I'm having a blast. You know what? Okay, I look at this. I say, man, after the podcast, woo, I got 6 hours to do nothing.
Mm.
No, I'll be doing the show prep.
Right. In the prep today, it said you need 2.5 hours a day to do nothing.
Yeah.
More than that is no good.
It's
well,
true.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about dating real quick, Holly. I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
You're single. Guy's gonna take you out on a date. What kind of date? Like drinks, maybe you go to dinner, you have a couple drinks, you have dinner, and then maybe there's an activity afterward.
Okay.
I'm saying is that like that's a date.
For a first date.
Mm-hmm. After you've been chatting on Tinder for a while.
Maybe you're already on the phone, you got exchanged numbers,
okay,
and you're texting.
Okay, so we've chatted a bit. Uh-huh. I would assume that a first date would be like dinner with drinks involved, not all like a separate thing necessarily, but like let's say you go to a restaurant, maybe get a couple drinks at the bar, then you're seated, and then you have
That's what I meant.
Dinner, and then that could be it,
right.
Unless you end up having a really good time, and then maybe you walk down to like, you know, a bar and you see a band or something.
Okay.
Or and then you have one more drink, and then that's it.
All right. That's the first date. And let's say you had a good time on that date, and then you're planning another second date. That first date, what do you think? That's about $200? How much is that?
Ooh.
How much is that first date?
Yeah, I would say between $150 and $200.
Yeah, if you're talking about drinks, if you're not doing just like a coffee, you sort of meet and greet, but you're going a full date, that's
And I'm assuming that Holly is not the type of woman that would try to get you. You know, a lot of women, they go out on a date with a guy. It's an Instagram moment.
Mm-hmm.
They start ordering all this weird stuff they don't eat. They want to take a picture of it. I don't think you like that, Holly.
No.
I believe single Holly wouldn't be like,
I was never
what
like
loser's
that.
Gonna buy me a steak tonight?
No, Holly
O'Connor need a steak. Yes.
I always would offer to pay for the tip, but nobody ever made me, which is good because I never had cash.
See, well, she didn't plan it that way, but
I put my card down for a tip if you want me
I'll
to.
I'll give you some for a tip.
Yeah. In general, though, like, you don't expect to pay for that date.
I really don't.
You don't. I understand that.
I don't.
Not a second date. Let's say we do that two more times.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying this with the expectation of sex after the third date.
Mm.
Because I don't think a woman should go on three dates with a guy if she's not interested in heading that direction.
Interesting. So you're
this
saying
this is my old school ways coming out right now.
So
I think that's still probably pretty applicable among me and my friends.
Like, why would you agree to the second date if you didn't have a good time at all?
Maybe because you're on the fence. Like, I went out with I went out on several dates with a guy that I was really on the fence about. Like, he, on paper, everything was great. Like, we had a lot of the same things in common.
Okay.
We both write well, so we were great texters. We texted, like, all day long.
Oh.
He was, like, kind of, I didn't think he was that attractive, like, right off the bat. But I was like, these things can get better. And so we went out on several dates because I was like, let me see what this develops into. It's not like I was trying to jerk him around
or
anything.
My thing is, that first date that I dropped that $200 and then you're not sure or whatever— You need to not be sure at the coffee spot next time.
Right. Well, that's why, especially with people I don't know, if it's gonna, I would do a lot of lunch dates.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did a lot of lunch dates that way. Lunch is not near as expensive.
Yeah, I guess my point is, if you did three dinners though, like three, and let's say maybe next time we went to a Lightning game, and had a couple beers. You know, those beers like $60.
Oh, but, yeah.
After three dates, I look at it like I'm into this for $600.
So sex is worth $600.
See,
I'm saying what can I get out on the street?
I need,
and that's how I'm looking at dating now.
See,
it's money.
But I feel like right now, because you haven't gone out on dates,
and I haven't had to have a date budget,
right. And so in
a
your mind,
budget,
that's
yeah.
what you're that's what you're thinking about. But I feel like once you actually like right now, it's like ha, this money. Dates, but then once you actually like it's a real person in front of you, and let's say you go out on two dates and like you're both still assessing each other, you spent money, and let's say after the third date she's like, you know what, I'm sorry, it's not worth
three,
it
you knew,
but at the thing but you know what, I because it's a real person, I think I have a feeling that you're gonna be like, you know what, it sucks because I really liked you and I was hoping that, you know, we could hey, but we're not. All right, it's fine. Because once you get to know, like, it's a human being and who has persons and they're complicated and they're dealing with their own stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
it's not as cut and dry.
Right. It's not going to be as transactional as you feel like it is now, 3 weeks out of a 14-year relationship. Does that make sense a little bit?
Yeah, it makes sense. But this whole getting to know somebody, it's lame. Asking these stupid questions. What do you like?
This is why I tell you.
It's rough. Dating's rough.
It is stupid.
Listen, I online dated for most of my life. and I literally had no success. It wasn't until I got with someone who was a friend before, and we didn't have to have the date of like, so what's your favorite color? What's your favorite movie?
Favorite
where are you
color.
From?
I get up and watch. Check.
Right. Like, we already knew that stuff, and it was so great.
Okay.
And because, and I feel like, you know, yes, there are some success stories from Tinder and Grindr and Match and eHarmony and whatnot, but I feel like you, especially right now, that's why I'm saying and Holly's saying, get into stuff that you're interested in, because then that's going to lead you, maybe, maybe not, to at least a new group of friends, maybe some new people, maybe new experiences. Like CrossFit for me 5 years ago opened up my mind to like an entire world that before I was like, I'm not going to a beach. I'm not going to a boat. I'm not doing all this stupid shit. But then it opened up my mind. And so then that led me to be able to be with someone like my boyfriend, and CrossFit, my boyfriend, nothing to do with each other, but it opened up my mind. And so by doing different things and sort
of,
and I'm not saying that, you know, today you got to get on Groupon and be like, all right, can I do yoga?
No, I was on Groupon. Yeah, the other day.
Right.
Yeah. I was looking for a trip.
Right. I'm just saying, but that may be something. Maybe there's like a group that takes trips together. I don't know, but there's something out there.
That was my suggestion.
Here's the weird part. I really enjoy being alone. I was an only child. I can take a vacation by myself. I don't need someone to bounce stuff off of. I had to really become a relationship person because I'm naturally only child, do what I want to do.
Right.
Never really had to think about other people. But then I got in a relationship and I thought I was good at it. I thought I was in a good relationship until the bad shit started to happen.
Right. Well, right. You know. And a lot of that stuff was circumstantial for you guys anyway.
Right.
I think anybody can be in a relationship. Yeah, maybe you have preferences to be alone, but also you might end up, like, let's just say way down the road you get with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're used to being a loner too. So you have a lot of alone time and you have a lot of together time.
And that's one of the things that I've learned being with my boyfriend is that all the, like, weird quirks that I'd be like, well, that's going to prevent me from being with someone, he appreciates. And like, maybe he's not like the biggest fan of it, but it's not like other people I've dated where they made me feel guilty about it, or they were like, ugh, like, like, there's gonna be someone who's like, I wanna be alone too. So like, you know, this weekend,
give me a breather.
Yeah, I'm gonna go do my own thing. You're gonna do your own thing, and then on Sunday we'll get together. So so this is one of the sort of the big things that I've learned in my relationship is that, yes, you want to make compromise, but there's going to be somebody that truly fits those pieces of you. And when it is, you know it, and it feels so good.
Okay, what you're saying is a non-American woman.
There you
go. I want one of these rural bitches from like a little shack.
A shack.
And then I look like, in another country, and then it look like I'm living in a mansion. And I'm like, watch this right here. And I turn the water on and hold it down until it starts burning. What, girl?
No.
Take your shower, girl.
Oh, my God, I love it. That's what SBK, I want. Thank you so much for joining us on Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Woo. Now, tell us, where can people listen to you? Where can they find you on social media that you love so much?
Oh, I love social media. Well, I don't fight with people like I used to, so it's all good. I usually, if I don't like what you say, I just tell you to be blessed.
Be blessed.
And I hope you find Jesus before he finds you.
Oh. I like that.
That's actually really great.
I just made that up.
I kind of like it.
I'm going to start saying
that.
What
that means, if you find him, you ain't dead.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Be blessed.
Yeah.
Be blessed.
You be blessed. And then instead of using the N-word, I'm saying beloved from now on.
Beloved.
Hello, my beloved.
Oh.
Right.
See,
that's
what
I'm going to do. So when y'all hear me that, I'm really calling y'all the N-word. That's what that is. I'm on Instagram at SoulBrotherKevin.
SoulBrotherKevin.
And I'm on Twitter at The Soul Brother.
Yes.
And I'm going to fire it up. I have a podcast out in a couple of weeks, and I'll be talking about the whole point of my podcast is I have a second chance at life.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be my intro. It's going to be like, I got a second chance at life. My dog died. My girl left me. Now I'm out here on these streets.
Yes.
That's the theme of the podcast.
On these streets.
I got another podcast too that I'm thinking about doing. Holly, what was the name of that podcast I was telling you about the veggies?
Oh,
I was gonna do one about my garden.
Oh yeah. Wait.
It's something about a hoe. Something hoe.
Something about like out hoeing. He's gonna do a gardening slash whatever podcast called out hoeing.
Now, my hobbies are lame hobbies.
I love, but there's somebody who will mm-hmm. appreciate that.
No, that's mine. No. My gardening is mine. Get out of here. Oh. I'm in peace. This is my zen.
All right.
But they're going to love that about
they
you.
They like it about, maybe they hate gardening, but they love that you love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's like, right. Okay.
It happens. It's weird. I know.
It's going to be a life of hookers for me.
Okay.
Peace. All right.
That's all right.
Out hoeing.
Scott, what's all of your information?
You can find me at Scott Tavlin, Scott Tavlin.
Now, Scott, as a 22-year-old, have you found some good stuff here?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, life seems like a damn roller coaster.
It is.
And I'm just trying to figure it out.
Excited to live it.
Day by
content.
Day.
I love
I guess,
Scott
yeah.
Scott has literally just been sitting here with his mouth open like, wow, this is crazy.
It's a lot.
This is so
wait,
good.
I didn't I got to tell you this. I know we're on. The good things about me post kidney transplant.
Oh, yeah. What are mm-hmm. the good things?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. I realized that my body was never processing alcohol right. And I never felt alcohol never set well with me.
Okay.
And I would drink still, but it just never... I felt off, not just drunk, but just not right. And it was mostly because, I wasn't supposed to be drinking on the medicines that I was on. Mm-hmm. And also, my body wasn't processing alcohol the right way. Now my body processes alcohol. I could probably outdrink all of y'all.
Oh,
really?
Like I can, and drinking doesn't affect the kidneys like you think it does. It's the liver. But anyway, I can drink now. It takes a lot to get me drunk.
Wow.
That's not good, but
no.
I have a better time because I feel better when I do have a buzz. Mm. Like I used to have a buzz and feel kind of icky.
Oh.
I don't feel the icky anymore.
Well,
I feel good.
That's good.
All right. And now considering that I haven't been single in 14 years, as a man gets older, it says that, you know, he may be lose some of his libido and some of his virility.
Yes.
What's the word?
Yeah, it's virility.
Right. Mm-hmm. Virility. Okay, so my body functions now better than it did in my
20s. Oh.
When you're talking about everything.
What I'm saying is, like, I can get it back up, like, immediately.
Yeah.
That's never happened for me before. I used to have to wait.
Sometimes.
30 minutes, make daddy a sandwich, and then, you know, we get back on it. Dude, right back up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right back up.
Welcome. That's what Scott right deals with as a 22-year-old.
22 is pretty good.
If my body was functioning right, I could have been.
You would have had lots of babies.
No, I wore rubbers.
No,
and that's another thing. People think that you 44 and don't have any kids. What's going on?
I don't know.
You're like,
what is going on?
People find that weird.
Right. Because the fact that you don't have kids, but you're like, my situation was a little different.
And women my age look old.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different thing.
They look old. Sorry. I can't be dating my mama or my auntie.
Oh, no.
If you hold your arm up or anything, if anything jiggling up under there, that's auntie. That's auntie.
But all I will say to that is that you have to have the same sort of expectations for you.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that if you're
going to have
those, if you're going to have those expectations for women, you got to hold those to yourself too.
Damn.
But didn't you tell me guys don't like women their own age? They like women significantly younger.
Well, attractive wise, yes. They did this study where it's like women tend to like, as they get older, like the same age bracket that they are, but unequivocally across the board, every guy in this survey thought that women the age between the ages of 20 and 24 were the most attractive, period, hands down, no exceptions.
I'm going to meet a woman. We got to talk on the Google Translator. You hungry?
Yes. Yeah.
It said you said no.
Hey, I have one trick for you.
Yeah.
I have one trick for you. Right. You're going to be talking to these young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Just add a lot of extra letters to the end of words and you'll be fine.
Hey.
With like four Ys.
Oh.
Ladies
what about
love
emojis?
It.
Emojis?
Yes, all the emojis.
Yes, emojis are good.
Eggplant.
Okay. Eggplant.
Yeah. Winky face.
What does the purple devil emoji mean?
Oh, that means when you want to go have sex with a lady.
Yeah, when they're like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's followed by a tongue and a peach.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Or a
tongue
eggplant.
And a peach.
Yeah.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Look at that.
I know the eggplant, but I don't know the rest of it.
We'll have to give you some dating tips on how to text and how to do all those things with technology.
It's going to be a disaster, and it's probably going to be in the paper.
I love it.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
I am Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. And you can find Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot101.5TampaBay.com, on the Hot 101.5 app, or if you are if you have an iPhone, download the little podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored, and make sure to rate and subscribe. Until next week, thank you, SBK.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.